right. I want to start a new series this morning and talk about stewardship. And I know as soon as I say that, everybody reflexively flinches, grabs their wallet, hangs on tight, because they're thinking, oh my goodness, what's he going to say? And it's true. I want to spend this morning talking in depth about how we use and spend the time that God has given us. I know you're thinking, I didn't see that one coming. You see, what the thing is I want to talk for the next 3 weeks about being intentional with everything that we've been given, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Because so often what happens is we don't think about it and it just slips through our fingers. I remember back when we moved out to Texas, we were young, we were in our 20s, we were just married, and we happened to be living next door to another very nice couple, and they were about our age, didn't have kids either. And I remember Lorianne, my wife, talking to the wife of that family, and this particular woman says, yeah, we just pay the minimum on our credit card bill every month, and I don't know where the money goes. And you think about it, a lot of us kind of are that way with our time and our money. Even though you might be making a good income, even though you've got the same 7 days everybody else has in the week, you get done with that week, with that month, with that decade, and you're like, where did the time and the money go? And so we want to talk for the next 3 weeks about being intentional with those things that God has blessed us with, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Not because we want to be guilty, but because we want to help you to understand that this has been given. And when we don't understand that and we don't be careful with it, we're not intentional, it just becomes a blur. And so what I want to do is I want to start out going back to this guy. If you'd put up that first slide. This is an artist's depiction of Solomon. Even if you've never been in church before, you probably have heard of Solomon. He was king of Israel 3,000 years ago, and the really interesting thing that everybody knows about Solomon is he was smart. He was wise. And what had happened was that when Solomon was a young man, God says to Solomon, what do you want? And so Solomon says, I want wisdom. I want to be able to know what I should do, what's right, what's wrong. And so God says, great, I'll give you wisdom. And because you asked for wisdom, I'll also give you all the other stuff. I'll give you the money and the fame and the power and everything else. And so Solomon reigns as the wisest man to ever live. And he hands down to us, 3,000 years later, the book of Proverbs, which isn't written entirely by him, but it's written a lot by him, and it's his collection of wisdom. Basically, how do you live? He also writes Song of Songs, which is a celebration of married love. And he also writes Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is this fascinating little book of wisdom. It is somebody at the end of their life who has been there, has done it all, has seen it all, and he's like, yeah, let me tell you about everything. Let me give you all the stuff. And I want you to keep in mind that Solomon is writing Ecclesiastes from this perspective of somebody who has all the money in the world, has all the fame in the world, has all the power, has all the women. That's a discussion for another sermon. And he has everything. And he's saying, okay, let me tell you about it. And let me tell you that everything comes and goes. And let me tell you, nothing lasts except what God gives you. If you'd put up that first slide, this is Ecclesiastes 3:12. This is right after the end of what Gary just read for us. And he says, I perceive there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. And so Solomon is writing in this time when the prophets are active, when they're not that far removed from the people of Israel being brought out of the wilderness of God, speaking at Mount Sinai and giving them the law. He's like, do good. And when he says do good, what he's meaning is follow God's law, follow God, and be joyful. Because Solomon is writing as somebody who has had it all. He's had the money, he's had the fame, he's had the power, he's had the women, and he's like, no, you know what? I've tried it all. I got the t-shirt. Trust me, this is what you want. I suspect most of us in this room can point to something where they have learned the hard way that what they're pouring the time and the resources into does not last. There's a gentleman by the name of Cal Newport. He writes a lot on productivity and other stuff. He's a secular writer, but really an interesting thinker. It's basically how to be productive about stuff. And he was making the point that a lot of what we do is just kind of this busyness. We perceive it as we're doing stuff and we're busy, but we're really confusing being busy with being productive. And I was reading one of his books about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago. And he was talking about social media and about how a lot of us, we try and do stuff to be perceived as more than we are or build a brand or something else. And at the time, I was really pouring a lot of time into that project, trying to build a presence online for myself and trying to tell myself that it was for the congregation so we'd have a bigger visibility. And I was posting all this stuff, trying to post something every day to be thought of as funny or insightful or incisive. And Newport had this piece of advice. He's like, here's how you tell if you really matter doing this. Step away from it for a month and see if anybody notices. And don't do the thing where you say, hey, I'm stepping away for this. Tell me how much you miss me. He said, just sign off. Go away for a month and see if anybody says anything. So I did that. Do you know how many people said anything? You're going to guess zero, but there was actually one. It was a friend of mine, like 6 months later. He's like, yeah, I noticed you don't do that anymore. I'm like, yeah, there you go. You're the first person to notice. But it was such a great lesson for me that I was chasing after this. It was exactly what Solomon was talking about. We chase after these things and we tell ourselves it's for the kingdom, but it's really because we want recognition. And that was a bit of a hard lesson for me. What Solomon is getting at is that you need to be joyful and follow God. And I love that he's got that joyful line in there, because this is not a book that is filled with joy. It is more like get up, go to work, have kids, take care of the kids, go to bed, repeat the next day. It is not a book that is like all the happiness. But what Solomon is getting at is he's saying, look, your attitude is what you do get to choose. And be joyful as you serve God and serve the people around you. Now, if you want to go to that next slide, if you know one thing out of Ecclesiastes, it's this passage. This is the longer passage that Gary just read for us. It is for everything there is a season, every manner under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. And he goes on through this thing. And some of you, if you're from a certain era, you remember the song by the Birds, and they turned this one in. But what this is in this passage, it's so wonderful because it is Solomon saying, look, you're going to have different seasons in life. And you're going to be called to different things at different times. And sometimes God is going to equip you for a ministry for a time. And other times it's like, no, not right now. Some of you have heard me tell the story about how when I was in my 20s, I was trying to do ministry with junior high age kids, and it did not go well. I was not equipped for it in any way, patience, spirituality. It was miserable for me and for the kids. And now, many, 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 many decades later, I kind of enjoy working with them. I mean, they're a bunch of mischievous hooligans, but gosh, they're fun. They are. And I say that out of love. It's true. But they're fun because God puts you in a place for a season. And so as you came in or as you were sitting here, you should have got one of those green time and talent sheets. And if you didn't get it, you can grab it on the way out. But it is just a chance to say, where is God calling me now? It is God saying, because there might have been a season that you've been doing stuff, and just because you've been doing something for forever doesn't mean that God's not calling you to something new. God can put you in a place for a short season, for a long season. And that's fun, and that's different because you never know where God's calling you. And I want to encourage you to take just a couple of minutes and fill that out, throw it in the offering plate, put it on the info desk, whatever you want to do with it. And then what we'll do is we'll follow up with you and say, hey, okay, you checked off these three boxes. Here's some different options or some different opportunities. But take some time to think about it. Because we want to give you the place for that. We want to give you a chance to be part of those ministries, give you a chance to serve and to be intentional about it. Because there is so much that happens where we get to the end. And I know that everybody has demands on their time. And some of you are in those places where you've got a lot of demands from your career, from family, from taking care of kids and elderly parents and everything else. And trust me, I know how that season is. But I want to encourage you to be intentional and not just say no. There's a bit of wisdom from a friend of mine in college. And he said this, and it has stuck with me, again, many decades later, where he made the comment that if a girl says, I don't have time for a boyfriend right now, what she means is, I don't have time for you as a boyfriend right now. And you laugh nervously. But there is truth in that. Because a lot of times when we say, I don't have time for a new thing, or I don't have time for a new ministry, or time for a new commitment, what we're doing is we're making a choice. We're saying, I don't want to do that because I'd rather be doing these things. And a lot of times what we just do is we just plead busyness when the reality is we just don't want to make the choice. Now, there's one last piece I want to show you. If you want to put up that last verse, it's from Psalm 90, which is held to be a psalm of Moses. And I love this line, teach us to number our days. Because what he's saying, like, let us be aware that we only live for a certain part of time. And take that seriously and recognize that, yeah, we're here. But God is calling us to all these things and that God has put eternity in our heart. All right, I got an example for you. If I get on my assistant, step over here. All right. This is a cassette tape. For those of you too young to remember cassette tapes, don't worry. It's just like an 8-track crossed with a fax machine. It's good. If there's any Joan Baez fans in the crowd, I am sorry. Okay, take this. Yep, take the plastic part and then see how far you can stretch it. Okay. Now, I think I did this once here before, and I think we got all the way back to the kitchen. So we're going to see. But imagine that this stretches out, and this represents eternity. One end of the tape represents when God creates the heavens and the earth, and the other represents when Jesus comes back until time ends. Time forever. Eon upon eon. Yeah, don't hit the cake. There we go. Okay, don't go through the cake. It's important. All right. But imagine how long this is. And this is just a beautiful way to think about this because we think, you know, we live here on this earth for a long time. Some of you might hit the century mark like my grandmother did. But the reality is when you compare us to eternity, How long is our life? How long is that century? It's a scratch on a scratch on a scratch. It is not that long. And so when Moses is saying, teach us to number our days, what he's getting at, he's saying, look, you're only here for so long. Make the best of it. Do good, be joyful. Serve God, and do so with intention. Because friends, we're going to live in this world, and we're going to take time. And again, I want to encourage you to serve and pay attention to every one of your days. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the wisdom of Solomon and of Moses. Help us to understand what you have given us. Help us to be intentional with our time, our treasure, and our talents. Help us to do so with joy and to serve you. Amen.